Welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Andre Jakubowiak, MD, PhD, a professor of medicine and the director of the myeloma program at the University of Chicago in Illinois. Dr. Jakubowiak joined us to discuss interim findings from the Phase 3 ATLAS trial, which investigated lenalidomide plus carfilzomib and dexamethasone, or KRD, versus lenalidomide maintenance in patients with newly diagnosed multiple myeloma who had previously received induction therapy and autologous stem cell transplant. At a median follow-up of 33.8 months, patients who received KRD had a median progression-free survival of 59.1 months versus 41.4 months in those who received lenalidomide alone. This translated to a 49% reduction in the risk of progression or death in the KRD arm. Additionally, the ATLAS investigators found a correlation between high minimal residual disease negativity and improved progression-free survival in the KRD arm. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Jakubowiak contextualized the ATLAS findings within the broader post-transplant multiple myeloma treatment landscape, shared pertinent interim data from the trial, and previewed the next steps for this research. All right, so we're talking today about the interim results of the Phase 3 ATLAS trial that were recently published in Lancet Oncology. Congratulations on that. Just to start off with this, what inspired this research and prompted you to challenge the post-transplant standard of care that was single-agent lenalidomide?
There was a number of developments, I think, which were the basis of that study design and development. First, we've been impressed over the last years that extended treatment is better than cutting intensive treatment at a certain period of time. First trial showed that first time, RD for 18 months versus indefinite. So I was always wondering how come patients who are younger would like to extend their lives as much as possible are treated usually for 3 to 4 cycles, then transplant, then only with single agent. Is this good enough? So that was always, in my mind, a reasonable, logical, rational. What prompted us specifically were the results of our KRD trials. First, the one which we published in Blood in 2012, which had deferred transplant, but showed that we continue to deepen responses after cycle 8, which was kind of a typical duration of treatment. In KRD with transplant, which was published in 2020, Dr. Joselek is first author. We have also looked at time to response and particularly deepest responses, complete and stringent complete response. They continue to improve over time after transplant. Some it could have been, of course, related to transplant effect with delay, but we correlated both of these results and we felt that KRD indeed is deepening their response after transplant, particularly during the first 4 months post-transplant, but additional 20 to 30% of patients beyond that time, which typically would not be expected to have any delayed effect of transplant at that time. So this was the rationale of using it. In the background of all of these, I would say, build-up of study design deliberations were two important studies. One conducted in US, Stamina trial, and also EMN-02 study. Both of these studies explore what are additional treatments after transplant potentially going to make in terms of a difference of outcome. Stamina trial did not show any difference between lenalidomide alone versus short course of consolidation for 4 cycles, or even transplant, second transplant didn't make a difference. Although retrospectively, we know that there was quite a number of patients in both arms, tandem transplant and consolidation arm, that had not received intended treatment. So on intent to treat, there was no difference in outcome. But Later, not necessarily a stringent evaluation of additional intervention, like with tandem transplant or consolidation, showed the benefit, even in our American study. And that correlated with what have been reported by Europeans from EMN study, which they showed that even two cycle course of RVD and transplant benefited patients, particularly high-risk patients. And we came to conclusion that probably more is better, and that probably too short more is not enough. And we already tested the waters with KRD post-transplant. We knew that we can deliver, that it can be tolerated, that patients, other than inconvenience of coming, are not necessarily having more problems or toxicities. And that came to proposal of evaluating this strategy in this particular ATLAS trial. And we've selected, in contrast to some other ongoing studies or some studies already reported, the strategy similar to what was applied in our KLGB lenalidomide versus placebo trial, which was one of the key two studies leading to approval of lenalidomide as maintenance therapy, in which patients enrolled in maintenance trial were eligible after any induction followed by transplant, provided that they did not have any progression. And we applied the same eligibility and strategy for our ATLAS trial to be as close as possible, even if this is just historical comparison to their data from KLGB trial, almost identical eligibility criteria were applied to ATLAS. We thought that with a study which was meant to be not too large, it was not industry study, it was investigator initiated, supported by two companies, but Amgen and initially Celgene and then BMS, but it was run by investigators, coordinated by University of Chicago and with key contributions of Polish investigators and Polish Myeloma Consortium. So that's how we eventually came with the study design and rationale why to run it, and convincing sponsors that it makes sense to make those evaluations. Simultaneously, as we learned over time, in fact, it was initiated later than ATLAS trial for the study in Italy, which was primarily designed to look at two induction regimens and then comparison of KRD with or without transplant, but had second randomization for KR versus R. This is now published and with some updates. That study showed that patients who were kind of a not pure post-transplant population, because there was one third of these patients randomized to KR, which was carfilzomib lenalidomide versus lenalidomide, were not post-transplant. They were after extended 12-cycle induction. Remaining two-thirds were patients who received induction for four cycles, transplant, then four cycles of either KRD or KCD. So it was a little bit different design, but showed kind of a similar approach to this concept, which I just described, that KR, on top of everything else which was done earlier for these patients, improves progression-free survival compared to lenalidomide alone. And when we look at our ATLAS trial results and for the trial results, cross-study comparison is always tricky, but we feel like they both help each other when documenting at this level what they showed and also what we are showing in this analysis of interim results, that indeed extended treatment with combination of lenalidomide and carfilzomib, in our study also dexamethasone, and for the trial there was no dexamethasone, improves progression-free survival with hazard ratio on ATLAS trial 0.51. But when you look at Kaplan-Meier curves, the comparison is almost striking, that there is a very similar effect of KR in their study in our KRD versus R.
What efficacy data were found in ATLAS with the KRD regimen?
We focused what would be the number of patients we need to enroll to evaluate difference in progression-free survival between KRD versus R. And we used historical data for our statistical modeling from KLGB trial for lenalidomide arm and from our KRD with transplant trial for KRD arm. And based on that, we concluded that we can see at 4 years statistically significant progression-free survival between two arms. And What we are showing in this paper is that even at earlier time points, at about 60% of projected events required for final analysis, we have already observed a difference between KRD and R arm in PFS. Median progression-free survival for KRD arm was 56 months, a little bit over, and for lenalidomide arm was 41 months, which showed statistical significance at this interim analysis, which was not adjusted, but that's how we originally designed in terms of p-value, with hazard ratio calculated to already at this point be at the level which we were thinking would be required to determine statistical difference between two arms. So that made us move forward with this publication, even if this is interim and plan analysis, but it already gives us clear signal and indication that our hypothesis is now supported by this interim data, which I have to say we need to wait for final confirmation at final analysis, which will come in about a year and a half. But that was important to bring to public. We felt there is an important responsibility of all of us investigators, and if there is interim data which we think is important to share with community and with patients, that may need to be reported even earlier than planned, and that's what prompted us to really not hesitate with this analysis. So this is a key finding, and I would focus that this is the main important thing which we have showed. Difference in progression-free survival, which reaches statistical significance, which we predefined earlier, although we did not adjust it for this interim analysis. A little bit prompted by our earlier observations, this was clearly supported by the data from a number of studies, but particularly from our KRD and transplant trial, we realized that the planned 36 months of post-transplant KRD treatment may not be required for all patients. And we hypothesized that we can de-escalate duration of KRD treatment in KRD arm to a group of patients who meet two criteria. First, that they have standard cytogenetics. We observed earlier that those with standard cytogenetics have better chance of not breaking through maintenance and who have achieved MRD negativity at six cycles post-transplant of KRD treatment. For these patients, this was about 41% of all KRD patients. We gave only eight cycles of KRD. So this KRD group is a little bit mixed. Majority of patients planned or received 36 cycles as per study design. But this 40% of patients have been de-escalated to lenalidomide arm, provided that MRD is negative and the patient has standard risks. That will require further validation at final analysis, but in this interim analysis, we actually could see that this group of patients actually is doing as well as patients who are for 36 months. It's a little bit unfair comparison because these are patients selected based on low risk and MRD negativity, and the other group have mix of patients, but this group is not appearing to drive PFS down, although we don't have proof of it because we didn't have control arm for that, but this is very important finding. So in addition to PFS, which is our main finding, this particular design seems to be validated now in line with some other studies which are already either reported or in progress, that MRD can serve as a marker for potentially de-escalation of treatment, and it can be successful and not necessarily apparently adversely impact the outcome. So this is important finding also from this study. Another important finding, which I think is maybe underemphasized in the paper, because I think we need to really look in totality for other studies. As you know, FDA and other agencies are looking for role of MRD as a potential surrogate marker for outcome. And we indeed are seeing at this point correlation between MRD rates in KRD arm versus lenalidomide arm at six cycles. We have only at six cycles at this point. We will report later landmark time points at final analysis. But at six cycles, there is statistically significant superiority of MRD negativity measured by MWG criteria, meaning 10 to minus 5 sensitivity and CR or better. in KRD arm compared to lenalidomide arm. In a way, indirectly, this only study shows that MRD is a predictor of PFS because we have higher MRD at 6 cycles and better outcome in KRD arm than in R arm. To some extent, it is a more important, I think, additional secondary outcome of this particular report, which I think is worth mentioning.
How tolerable is this combination compared with monotherapy so far? And are there any patients in which you would refrain from using this combination because of adverse effects?
There would be obvious patients whom I would not use carfilzomib-based therapy. Those would be patients with, for example, significant cardiac, not only history, but impairment, history not necessarily, or frail patients, for example. But we have not cherry-picked patients in this study, patients who met eligibility criteria. They were pretty standard, like for any lenalidomide-based maintenance therapy, were enrolled. And I would be still, after this study, after we conducted an analysis, it would not change the approach. In short, there is overall slightly higher rate of toxicities and AEs of all grades in KRD arm compared to lenalidomide arm. It is expected. We see it also with every study with additional, for example, daratumumab to any backbone therapy, and it was expected. But importantly, grade 3 and 4 events level are very comparable between two arms. And for most categories, in fact, there is really no big difference between two arms. The main differences in terms of higher level of toxicities were related to slightly higher rates of infections in KRD arm, and it was mostly related to respiratory infections and upper respiratory infections, slightly higher rates of thrombocytopenia, and kind of a minor differences in other toxicities and favoring in higher rate slightly on KRD arm. But when you look at the table, the differences are maybe giving a sense of high level of toxicity for overall and some categories, but overall they are really minor and not really making us and those who look into this paper results feel that there is unnecessary risk taken by putting patient on KRD versus R in this particular study. The same with SAEs, there was a slight difference, but not necessarily making it dramatically different. Bringing us to the conclusion, considering PFS difference, that therapeutic index for KRD versus R is favorable because we have benefit, which is meaningful clinically, at the same time, not necessarily for too much of a risk. That's kind of a one part of answer and objective, as you can see in the paper. I think important part of it is also what I anticipate will be reported at later times. We have not included it in this paper. We have collected quality of life data, which will help us to look into that in maybe greater granularity between KRD and R arms. And they will be, by our assessment so far, likely in line with what I just told you, that both arms have been fairly comparably tolerated, with some maybe trends of higher toxicities and life inconvenience because of frequent visits on KRD arm, but not necessarily to the point that the patient would be not inclined to be enrolled into this study or to stay on treatment.
What are the next steps for this research?
We are continuing this study. The study is ongoing. Enrollment has completed already a couple of years ago almost. Because of the way we designed the study, we will have final analysis when last patient will be in follow-up for 4 years, which will come around fall of 2024. So it's coming early, quickly, and that will be important for us because we anticipate by that time we will have more data to support what we have reported at this particular study. While the study was not designed with regulatory objectives, considering that already based on FORTE data and now with KRD versus our ATLAS data, NCCN guidelines have included this consideration for using post-transplant for selected patients based on discussion with the patient, KR, and I think KRD now is in line with that. So I think the next step will be maybe in the meantime, well, we would anticipate that will be an increased interest of using more intensive treatments, and in this case, KRD compared to lenalidomide, reviews the patients, the data, and looking at risks and benefits. Once we have more specific results, which we plan to present at final analysis, and we may potentially bring some additional, like, for example, MRD at another landmark time points or quality of data, as I said, and some other correlative studies, it will help us to see whether there are any specific subsets of patients who may be benefiting more from implementing KRd versus R. Many of us, and it was, for example, discussed on the ASCO oral presentation, feel that probably this will be more likely to be happening for high-risk patients. I have to say, at this analysis, we don't really see that signal yet. We probably have not enough events, but on the other hand, we have actually pretty strong signal to the level that we have included in our paper, Kaplan-Meier curves for standard-risk patients with or without MRD negativity, and we see significant difference for these patients compared to lenalidomide alone. So it appears to me that high risk may need that KRd more than lenalidomide, but that there is a benefit for also standard risk patients using KRd. So looking for those subgroup analysis at the later time points will be very critical. A study was not powered to really look at those, but we will be reporting them, and we may be informed by those results what to do when we will be considering post-transplant treatments.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.